Hello there. My name is Chris Cook and welcome to TW Talks, the interviews podcast from Free Weeks Edinburgh. We are at Edinburgh Festival 2024, sitting in the lounge at Assembly George Square, right next to the club bar and all the studio venues. The festival is very much happening around us as we speak, and I am chatting to comedians who are performing at this year's Fringe. Today, Erin Farrington, who you may have come across at the Fringe before as part of the Stamptown team, and who this year is performing her solo show, Think Better, Manifesting Money, Real Estate, and Hot People. We are going to talk past, present, and future, the story so far, this year's show, and what is happening next. So here we go. I've got another guest joining me here in what I think they call the lounge at Assembly George Square. I think that's its official name. It's actually a basement, but it's decked out quite nicely. My next guest is here. Erin Farrington has joined us. Thank you for joining us.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
On this Friday afternoon of the second week of Edinburgh Festival 2024. We're going to talk more about your show a little bit later, but how has the festival been so far?
It's been so fun. It's like so challenging, but in such a good way. I love performing every day. And it's like always inspiring to be here because there's so much stuff going on and so much new art. Yeah.
You feel like you're part of a big party.
It's like a summer camp for adult freaks, and I love it.
That's a strapline they should use. We should give that to the Fringe Society. So we're going to do past, present, and future. So we are going to talk about this year's show. That's really what we're here to talk about. But let's first of all do the journey so far. So let's start at the very start. When did you start off sort of performing, and when did you decide that that was what you were going to do?
I did improv. I know that's, a lot of people don't love that, and it's embarrassing to say, but I did improv in high school, and then in college, we did like a lot of competitions, and my team in college was connected to a theater in Boston, Massachusetts, called Improv Asylum, and we got free classes there, and so I started going there and eventually worked my way up to work for them. So I worked on a cast that performed two nights for a little while, and then I advanced to a cast that performed Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and that became my whole job. So I did that for like 3 or 4 years.
So that started while you were at college?
That started right after. So that's like through college to right after college.
So to go straight from college into that, that sounds...
yeah.
So your hobby at college almost immediately into your job.
And that is what improv does. It takes over your life. It is a call in like a lot of ways. But I loved it. I was like so in for it. We did one show on Thursday, three shows on Friday, four shows on Saturday.
So it's clearly a big audience for improv
in
Boston.
Yeah, it's like a small market. Yeah. So we were one of two theaters, and so people were like itching to see it. So we did, for my cast, I think we had the longest run of sold out shows. So I think it was just over a year, and it was so delightful. We're in the round. It's like Boston.
And was it short form improv, long form improv?
It's the structure of the show is similar to Second City.
Yep.
So it's short form and then sketch comedy. And we would work on different structures. And then our midnight shows were all short form. And then we'd have like a couple of longer runs, like of just scene work during the show.
So there was 3 or 4 years of that being your full time job?
Yes. I did that and then I taught. Yeah.
Yeah. And how did it then progress from doing the improv thing into what came next?
I did that. I worked with that theater, and then I moved to New York with that theater. And then through that, I like started doing more auditions. I like did some showcases and then like auditioned for JFL and all that stuff. And that's how I started to meet the people in Stamptown. And that's how I met Zach Zucker, and we like just clicked immediately. And then
I guess for the uninitiated, I mean, we've had lots of interviews with Zach over the years on Free Weeks, but let's, for the uninitiated, tell us what Stamptown is.
Okay. Stamptown is, like a crazy clown variety show. It's hosted by Zach, who plays a character named Jack Tucker. He's insane, loud, lots of sound effects. And it has everything from like stand-up to burlesque to fire-breathing people. It's very exciting to be a part of. Yeah. And Stamptown goes all over America, and then it's been at the Fringe so many times and in London. And so I met Zach and I became involved with Stamptown. And then last year he invited me to the Fringe to just do Stamptown shows. And so I came, fell in love, and I was obsessed with it. And then this last year, Stamptown has traveled quite a bit. We've done like South by Southwest and Moon Tower. We did a run at the Soho Theater in London. And then we have shows in New York and LA pretty constantly. So, yeah.
And what is your role in the show?
My role in the show is a character that was born out of last year's Fringe. I play stage manager. This Stamptown is very chaotic. And so I play the person who's trying to like calm everyone down. I like play a person who's like shocked at everything that's going on. Yeah.
So last year was your first year at the Fringe.
Yes.
And I guess before you came, where were you of it as a festival? What were you expecting? And how did it compare when you came?
No one who like was in my little comedy community in Boston had ever come over here. So I like didn't have a lot of experience. I didn't know what to expect. And coming here was just like so overwhelming. It was like just everything's so bright in your face. There's 100 shows happening at all times. And I loved it. I loved it so much. And then doing Stamptown, last year Stamptown was in the Pleasance Fourth, which I think is 350 person room. So that was like a really wonderful introduction to like the energy of an audience at the Fringe, yeah.
And so when did you make the decision that you were going to do your own show at the Fringe?
Last year while I was here, Zach and I went out to lunch and he really encouraged me to try to do something on my own and make a longer version of one of my characters or do something that I was excited about and bring it back here. And I was so flattered and excited that that would be even a possibility. And then that's when I started like brainstorming and thinking about, yeah, a show on my own.
And so in terms of the character, so is it existing characters from within Stamptown or existing characters you've done elsewhere?
This character is for my show that's currently happening is a heightened version of myself. It's like it's like a combination of a bunch of different characters, like my favorite little bits from a bunch of other stuff that I've done, all mushed together to make a confident idiot. Yeah.
So let's hone in on the current show. So give us the premise, tell us what it's about.
Okay, yeah. My current show is called Think Better. It's a fake manifestation seminar. And it is hosted by this girl who hasn't really done any of the work. Manifestation is a kind of like a very like self-reflective practice, and it's like all about becoming a better person. And so I wanted a show to be like, what if someone didn't do any of that and just like was in it for like manifesting money and cool stuff and like just very surface level. So she is someone who is like trying her, she thinks that she's helping everyone, but she doesn't really know anything. And she's in it for all the wrong reasons.
So the idea of doing the show began with this Zach's idea a year ago.
Yes.
So I guess what process did you go through, first of all, in deciding that premise for the show and in sort of, you know, growing the character that we see?
Well, I, until December of last year, I like would call Zach and like pitch him something. And I would just like wait and listen to his reaction. He was never like, that was a bad idea, but he certainly was like, I keep working on stuff and keep thinking. And so, I like kept brainstorming. And then when I found this idea, I thought it just was the first one that I felt like I could do a full character for an hour without it being annoying. And like, it was the first one that stuck.
And in terms of, you know, developing the piece and writing the piece, mm-hmm. I mean, did you say, once you decided on the premise and the character, was it that you then sort of sat down and wrote an hour, or was it very much you did a little bit and it grew and you added to it over? Because I guess from this point, we're talking start of this year was when you really started working
yes.
with the idea in place.
Exactly. Yeah, I think I went through a bunch of different versions of the show. There's like ones that are more theatrical the whole time and like maybe a little darker. And then there were versions that were just very silly, over the top. And then I landed through just like talking to my friends. I did a lot of workshops in front of other comedians, which is always funny because they're really great laughers, you know, kind of famously. So I would just be like in a room and like try to work through my stuff to an audience of like two or three people. And then that's how I landed on this version of the show, which is probably like 75% written material, and then the other 25% I'm talking to the audience.
And so I always find it interesting when you have people where, I guess, when you're doing a show and in essence you are playing a character, you have a story to tell, you have a script, but you're also doing the interacting with the audience. And
yeah.
how you balance, because obviously the latter bit is so dependent on the room, it'll be different every night.
Yeah.
And how you make sure that that bit doesn't sort of, you know, send you on the wrong track.
Yeah.
Because you've got a story to tell.
Well, that's like where I feel like my improv background is so important. I feel so much more comfortable in that bit where you don't know what's going to happen than I do in like the written material, just because that's what I'm used to. And so that's what's exciting about my shows. I love talking to people. That's what I did a lot during my time in Boston and at Improv Asylum. It's a lot of like riffing with the audience. So I feel pretty confident in being able to like right the ship if anything goes really wrong. But that is what's like so exciting and makes the show special to me.
I also, particularly when people are doing, you know, when you're doing that at Edinburgh, and if there's one thing about Edinburgh is you're on a tight deadline. The show has to finish on time because
yeah.
there's another show coming in.
Yeah.
So do you ever sort of feel that you'll get on such a roll with the interaction and stuff that it's like, oh my God, I've still got 40 minutes of show to perform.
Yeah, I think for me, I'm a big like structure person. So if I feel like one interview is going really well, I'll just like cut the other one. And or I'll like kind of glide over maybe a little bit of the closing monologue. I love that a show that can grow and shrink and move and like with the crowd and the time. Yeah.
And how does doing a full hour, you're the only person on stage,
yeah.
compare with your experience last year where you were very much part of the cast and part of the crew?
This experience, it's been so, so, so different because I've always been a part of a team. And even when I wasn't with like a big group of people, I had my only other shows have been duos. So like me and my friend Kira O'Sullivan have a show that we had been touring. So this is my first time on my own. And it's like terrifying. It's like so much scarier than being with a group of people. And I wasn't expecting how scary it would be. But it is, it's wonderful. But I prefer being in a big crowd of people. Yeah.
Well, I guess that sort of moves us on to sort of to future thing. I mean, you decided last year we're going to do, having done part of Stamp Down, we're going to do my 1 hour show. You developed the theme. Do you think this? You will now have this as obviously you're still doing all of the other stuff.
Yeah.
But you will have. I mean, obviously there's lots more to be done with this specific show.
Mm-hmm.
But do you see yourself developing other shows either with a similar character or with a totally different character moving forward?
I think I can see myself developing similar shows and like kind of growing this like universe. I think I would like to incorporate it in other shows that I already have, like with
the duo show.
Yeah, the secret show with my friend Kira O'Sullivan. She who's a writer for SNL. So when our like schedules can meet up and we can do that, it's always very magical. But yeah, I think I would love to expand it, love to do a little bit more on my own, but I think I would also love to like continue to focus on Stamp Town too.
Let's just quickly, I suppose, the duo show. I mean, I guess let's talk about, because we skipped that in the story, didn't we?
Yeah.
So I guess from you did all the improv stuff, you relocated to New York, you were then doing the Stamp Down stuff. Where in that journey did the double act come from?
Well, Kira O'Sullivan she's someone who I worked with for a long time at Improv Asylum. She's one of my very best friends. And we work so well together because we have all those years of history. And so there was like a brief, like 6 months period in 2022 where I lived in LA and we developed the show together. And it is a little bit of sketch, a little bit of improv, and then we would interview audience members in characters. And it's so fun. We'd have like all of our friends to guest on it. I love her so much, and it's like one of my favorite things to do. And we've taken it all over. Yeah.
So Edinburgh 2024's plan was sort of conceived 12 months ago.
Yes. Yes.
Any thoughts on Edinburgh 2025, or is that too far away?
I don't know. I want to come back so bad. I mean, yeah, it's summer camp. So like I can't picture my next year without being here. But I don't know what I would bring. Time to start thinking.
So without getting you to commit to next August, I mean, I guess what beyond this this month, are there plans to perform this show back in the US?
Yes. I'm hoping that I'm talking to Improv Asylum in New York to hopefully set up a little bit of a run there. And bring all the new stuff and the new version of the show back home.
And staying with future stuff, is there any other, I guess, with your Stamp Down work and any other work, what else is coming up in the rest of the year?
The rest of the year? Yeah, I'm hoping that Stamp Down keeps me so busy and this new show keeps me busy. That's kind of the plan. Yeah, if Stamp Down, that crew of clowns is really a lot more intense than you'd think. So they do take up a lot of my time. But yeah, I'm excited to go back and perform.
Awesome. So for people who are in Edinburgh this month, there is still opportunities to see the show. So maybe remind us the name and the place and where people can see it.
Yes, come to Think Better. It's in Bunker 2 at 5:40 here in Edinburgh.
That's the Pleasance.
That's the Pleasance Theatre, yes.
Yeah.
One of those little underground dungeons.
Round the back.
Yeah. And then if you want to hear more about my show and see it maybe in the future, you can follow me at Erin Farrington on Instagram.
There you go. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, best of luck for the rest of the Fringe.
Hey,
it sounds
thanks.
Like it's brilliant. And then moving forward as well.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining me.
Oh, it was a pleasure.
Thank you.